Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, hello. And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day, good, good day. I just like saying that. Kalaszewski.
Hey, how you are?
Oh, my goodness. If you missed the first hour, you got to catch it. Big things are happening in Texas.
Amen.
We're protecting the right of the children, of the babies, of all Americans. Well, you know, we had a chance to have a fantastic interview. We're going to bring you an awesome interview today. We had a chance to have Nicole with us in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a testimony about how God set her free. You know, for years she had been struggling with anxiety. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many people today are struggling with anxiety. Many people today are taking medication and doing what they can, and they're suffering. And she was one of them. But something awesome happened.
Yeah.
God set her free.
Yeah.
God set her free, and I want you to hear her testimony in her own words of the power of God and what God did for her. And listen, if God can do it for Nicole, he can do it for you.
Amen.
That's right.
And for your loved ones. Listen up. Well, oh my goodness, we're so excited. In the studio today, we have Nicole. Hello, Nicole.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, well, this is so excited to have Nicole. She's been traveling all the way down from up the Northeast. And we're going to share today her amazing testimony about what God has done in her life. It's been absolutely amazing. And I know Pat's joining with us too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just blown away.
Yeah,
I have a chance
to
hear
myself.
It. And I'm said, we got to get her in the studio. We got to get her to share this. We got to get her to talk about this. Because for some time now, Nicole's going to share with us that she's been struggling with anxiety and with fear. And it's really been something that has crippled her for over 7 years.
That's right.
And talk to us about, you know, what is something you've been battling and what basically God brought you through.
Well, it started, like you said, about 7 years ago. My son was just about to turn 1 year old.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I took him to a doctor's appointment,
right.
You know, just a well baby, well check. And I was sitting there in the office and I felt like I couldn't breathe and I was sweating and I was just overcome with fear, but I didn't recognize it as fear at that point.
Right.
And I literally left there like thinking I was sick, like I was going to die. You know, something was terribly wrong with me. I went to see my doctor, told him everything that happened, and, you know, he, you know, checked me out, did a physical, and he's like, what's worrying you?
Yeah.
I said nothing. He was like, is there something going on in your life that you're worried about? And I was like, no, I mean, I'm fine. My kid is healthy. I'm married. You know, everything's fine.
Everything's good.
Everything's good. And he was like, and he asked me that maybe 3 or 4 times. Maybe he thought I was holding out on him.
Yeah.
I was like, but really, I'm not worried. And he was like, well, I think you're suffering with anxiety.
Right.
And he's like, I can prescribe you this or that. And I think he did prescribe me a medication. And, you know, they give you a little pamphlet. You can read about it.
Right.
And, of course, I went home immediately and Googled it.
Right.
And I read about it. And I was like, I don't have anxiety. You mm-hmm. know, I'm not crazy, you know, because mm-hmm. you label people.
Right.
And I didn't understand about it. But the more I read about it, my symptoms and everything lined up, you know, the shortness of breath and the tightness in my chest, just physical feelings.
Oh, you're like, oh my goodness, that maybe this is me.
Yeah, I was like, well, if this is what it is, you know, I'm ready to fight. And I got like a book, Anxiety for Dummies, you know.
Right, right.
I was like, I'm going to read about this and see what I can do. And I took one pill and I was like, it's not for me. I can't
right.
do it.
Right.
Can't do it. And I knew because of the way I was raised, I needed to pray.
Right.
And I began to pray and read my Bible and really just sought God on what I need to do with my life because this was crippling, like you said. I didn't leave my house unless I had somebody with me, like my husband or my best friend.
Mm.
And then sometimes even when, you know, he would, my husband would go with me, I was still terrified. I'd be in the grocery store terrified.
Wow.
And if I did have to go to the grocery store by myself, I'd be so afraid sometimes that I would just leave my cart and my groceries and just leave the store.
Wow. Mm. Wow. Now this has been happening for 7 years.
7 years. I mean, and I got better. I could manage it. I would pray and I would, you know, read my Bible and, you know, I did discipleship with Tracy.
Now, before all this, you know, this was happening in the beginning stages, were you walking with God? Was Jesus your savior? Where were you spiritually when like all this stuff was happening?
Well, I kind of fell away because I wasn't reading my Bible. I wasn't attending any kind of church, being fed in any kind of way. And I mean, but I always prayed at night because you just grow up praying every night. And I still prayed every night, you know, mostly just asking forgiveness. Right. But, but I wasn't living my life for Christ like I should.
Right.
So I definitely started to, you know, change my habits. Yeah, once I started, you know, having the battle with anxiety.
So this kind of opened the opportunity for you to say, wait a minute, I need to look to the Lord for this.
Oh, definitely.
Because you weren't taking any, you decided not to take the medication.
Right.
But you knew you wanted to be free.
Right, right. And I knew that the only way was God. Through Jesus, I knew that I could, you know, conquer it. And I didn't even know to label it as a spirit of fear at that point. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was a, you know, a physical ailment that I had.
Right.
And that
I just have to deal with.
Right. That I was going to have to deal with. And I had no idea the battle that lay ahead. I had no idea that it was going to take 7 years of my life. And I feel like it took so much away from me because I wouldn't do things.
Yeah.
I didn't want to take my son to the park. I didn't want to go to the zoo. I didn't want to go out to the beach, even though I wanted to go to the beach because I love the beach. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go because I was afraid.
Wow. And you were telling me something about you heard a segment or something on VFN Radio, and that helped you to kind of see something from a different perspective.
Definitely. You were talking about you only live once. I guess people are calling it YOLO, or there's something going around. People are doing stuff. But you were saying, you know, why do you have to get, you know, a diagnosis of cancer or what have you to really start living, to, you know, really do what you need to do each day and live for Jesus? And why can't, you know, Jesus be enough for you to go out each day and live your life? It's, you know, life is a gift. And it really hit home. And I was like, wow, you know, that's me. Because I can't tell you how many days I sat in the house and never left. You know, and when I was working, I would go to work. I'd come home, wouldn't leave the house, go to work the next day, come home. And just, it was a cycle.
And ultimately, how did that make you feel? I mean, day in and day out, yet you told me there were certain places that you couldn't go, you know, take your child to, and zoo or different things, family activities. Ultimately, how did that, the spirit, this fear that was gripping you, how did you feel ultimately at the end?
I felt like a prisoner. I felt bound by this fear that had come over me. And you know, once I started, you know, I met Tracy at work and I started, you know, discipleship with her. And she's the one that really let me know this was a spirit of fear that is attacking you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, only through God can you get your freedom.
Wow.
Mm. So, you know, every day I would pray and read my Bible and abide with God. And it made me stronger. It made me stronger and where I could do things. And I would go places, you know, with my husband and my son, and I would have moments where I was uncomfortable, or maybe I would start to panic a little bit, but, you know, I'd pray and I was able to make it through.
Yeah.
And I was able to enjoy the rest of my day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would do things, I would force myself, you know, Tracy would always say, do it afraid.
Yeah.
So I would go and do it afraid, but at the end of the day, I would be happy that I got out of the house and that I made myself go wherever it was that I was going.
And even then, I mean, oftentimes people say that, do it afraid, but even then you were still afraid. At the end of the day, you were still moving, but it was still there.
Oh, definitely.
And God promises us freedom, you know, but if we don't know, and it's just like, I want to get free. How do I get free? All these different things that run through our mind. I know that even cost you days at work. I mean, what would happen to you physically, to your physical body?
Well, I would the thoughts become so overwhelming that you can't concentrate on anything else. If I was trying to work or, you know, focus on something at work, I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself reading things over again. And then the thoughts would become so loud in my mind, you know, like, you need to leave. You need to go home. You're sick. You're sick. You need to go home. Yeah. You're going to pass out here at work, you know,
wow.
Over and over in my head, that I would just finally, you know, go to my boss and be like, you know, look, I'm not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to, you know, leave for the rest of the day today. And then I'd go home and I'd feel relief, but then I'd feel defeated at the same time. I'd feel relief because the anxiety would die down because I was at home, you know, sitting on the couch or in my bed. But then I felt safe. Yeah, I felt I was in my safe place. But then at the same time, I felt defeated. I was like, you know, I let fear win.
Yeah.
I let fear rob me of whatever it was I was doing, whether it was at work or whether I was out somewhere and decided to leave early,
because
that happened. I can't even tell you how many times.
Wow. And I know that you've been on a journey with God. I know that you are, you know, abiding with the Lord. You're plugged in and you're being ministered to and you're ministering to your son, and just so many wonderful things in the Lord are happening. I know just recently you got baptized, and that was amazing.
It was. It was really awesome. And my son was baptized too. And it was a great experience.
That's powerful. Shortly after, though, I know you received prayer. And one of the things that you received prayer for was for fear. And what happened the next day? I mean, you received prayer and you know, the next day you left. And well, what happened? Or that night, rather.
Well, while I was receiving prayer, I felt like something changed. I felt like almost a physical pop in my head, but it was so, you know, subtle that I kind of dismissed it. Like, you know, did I imagine that? You know, and I was like, oh, well, shrugged it off, went home, you know, and just went about my normal routine. And, right before bed, I had a nosebleed out of nowhere.
Oh, wow.
And I don't have nosebleeds.
That's not something that normally.
No. Yeah. I mean, maybe 5 years ago was the last time.
Right.
And it was just a little trickle, like a sinus infection or something. So I was kind of caught off guard, and I got myself together and I was like, well, that was strange.
How was this nosebleed? Was this like a trickle or?
No, this was a lot.
Okay.
It was a lot. It took me quite a while to get it under control.
Okay.
It was, you know, we won't go into detail.
Am I? All right. Okay.
But it was definitely drastically different than anything I've ever experienced, because I've never been one for nosebleeds. But I was just like, well, that was weird. But then I started noticing that I wasn't panicking about my nosebleed, which normally I would. Anything physical, I always panic about it and just, you know, worry myself to death, go to the doctor immediately. And I was like, man, I'm not concerned about my nose just gushing blood, you know.
Normally it would be, oh my goodness, right?
But normally I would be like on my way to the ER. So I started walking around the house, you know, and I was like, you know what? I feel different. I feel really good.
Mm.
And I was like, man, I'm feeling good. And I was like, why am I feeling good? And I started thinking about it. I was like, you know, I don't have the tightness in my chest that I have 24/7, just about. And I don't have the weight. It was like a physical weight that I could feel on my chest. And I was like, man, this feels really good. You know, I feel like I could just run a million miles right now. I just feel light.
Wow.
I feel free. And I was like, you know what? I'm not panicking. I'm not worrying. I mean, even when I'm not doing anything, I'm at home. Sometimes I just have like a minimal level of anxiety. It's always there. Whether, you know, I'm panicking or freaking out, it's always there.
Right.
And I was like, man, something's missing. You know, this is weird.
Yeah.
And then I started, it didn't hit me immediately. And I was like, you know what? I'm not anxious. And this is like literally the first time in 7 years that I felt like this.
Wow. That's amazing. You had become so accustomed to this fear lingering in your life that you're saying, wait a minute, I don't have it. How many times do you think that, how easy was it for someone to carry on with fear like that, like it was a friend, and you were like, where, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm. It becomes a part of you without you realizing it. I mean, because even now, you know, I'll be driving in my car now to, I went to my friend's house. And on the way, normally I'm thinking some anxious thoughts going through my head, like, what if I get there and I feel sick? You know, just silly things.
Yeah.
But they torture you nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, I'm not thinking anything in my head right now. That's so weird. You know, it's just, it's a weird feeling, but it's amazing feeling, and it's so freeing. And I really just, I can't describe to you the change in me. And I just am so thankful to God for this freedom. And without him, I know that I would have struggled the rest of my life with it.
Wow.
That is so awesome. And that's the key, because who the Son sets free is free indeed.
That's right.
You know, there's nothing like having an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're hearing to Nicole's testimony. I mean, this is a woman who loved life, loved her children, loved her family, but yet fear had her bound.
Tried to take it all away.
Tried to take it all away. But today she's saying, listen, Jesus set me free.
That's right.
He did.
And if you're sitting out there today and you're saying, listen, I can identify with Nicole. That is me. I don't want this in my life. Let me tell you something, that the Bible says that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that he can and will set you free. Put your hope in God. Cry out to God. Abide with the Lord. Give him your whole life. And let me tell you something. When you invite Jesus in your life and you make him Lord, everything begins to change. And ask the Lord to set you free. Because listen, you can receive prayer, you can receive, but it's a point of contact. I mean, listen, it's Jesus is the deliverer. He's the one that sets us free. And it's just so beautiful to hear your story and your ray of hope. And it's just so moving. It really is so moving. And I know that it's going to touch many, many lives here today. And it just takes one person willing to say, I am no longer going to bow down to fear anymore. And when I heard you share about this, it so moved me that you said, I want to begin to live now. What am I going to do?
Definitely. I mean, I've been so preoccupied with my anxiety, and I plan my day and my whole life around it. You know, like, am I going to have a good day? And if I wake up and I'm not feeling right, I'll cancel my plans. You know, and now I'm like, what am I going to focus on now? What am I going to obsess about now? So I'm just excited for what God's going to do, what he has planned for my life. Obviously, fear was not in the plans.
That's right.
And so now that fear's been evicted, you know, I'm ready just to start living and start witnessing and sharing my testimony with everyone that I can, because I remember times when I would feel hopeless. Mm-hmm. I would feel like there was no end in sight. And I felt like I was going to be afraid the rest of my life. I could just imagine myself at Cooper's wedding, sitting there anxious.
Wow.
And I dreaded it. I was like, oh, this is going to be terrible. Because when you have those anxious thoughts, you can't focus on the here and now, because you're trapped inside your head.
Yeah. Mm.
And I hate that. I hate that feeling.
Yeah.
And so now I'm just like, I can't wait to enjoy life again and enjoy being out with my family, enjoy doing just normal everyday things that people can take for granted.
Wow. It goes to show you, it's so powerful that, you know, the word of God says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And just a tactic like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember Rick Joyner shared in his book, The Final Quest, is just how a couple of just little demons, the spirit of fear, held back a whole army of God in this vision that God gave him. Mm-hmm. And to be set free, what would you do? What would you do for your family? What would you do for God? What would you do in life if fear was no longer a part of your life? And so it's encouraging to hear what is happening. What final words would you have to tell somebody who was just in your shoes? What would you tell them?
I would say to keep up the fight, you know, because there was times when I wanted to give up, when I thought there was no end in sight, you know, and, you know, I'd ask God why, and now I know why. I mean, it's been an incredible journey, and, you know, I wouldn't change a thing. I wouldn't change a thing, because this has really shaped who I am today, and just to be able to help, you know, just one person, you know, I'd do it all just for that one person.
Wow. Well, you heard from Nicole, who the Son sets free.
Is free indeed.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
You're a single mom and your 10-year-old boy needs a good male role model. But what can you do about that? Well, on today's Focus on the Family Minute, Dr. Gary Chapman offers a starting point.
find some man older than your son, whom you respect and whom you trust, and ask him to make contact with your son and take him out to lunch. Everything starts with one event. It can be a lunch, it can be a breakfast, it can be a ball game. But relationships start with one contact. Ask that person to invite him to something. Get to know him. And then see what happens. And that person may well pick up on it. It may begin to become something that develops a relationship where this young man can trust this person and begin to open up to this person. But that young man needs somebody with whom he can talk.
It's true that guys need trusted older men to help navigate life. For more advice to help your family thrive, stop by focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to, and not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. Mm. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function. And realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
Pat, you know, the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And you are listening to a woman's powerful testimony, Nicole, of how she struggled 7 years. 7 years with anxiety, 7 years with fear, 7 years of the Spirit controlling every part of her life, mm-hmm. where she can go, where she couldn't go, where she can stay, where she couldn't stay. It affected her relationships, affected her ability to be there with her child at certain events. It affected her at work.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the hours of inner turmoil.
Yeah.
To right. the point of being physically sick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, if you've been hit with fear before, you understand. If you yourself are battling with anxiety and suffering, then you can say, wow, I can relate to Nicole. But guess what? There's hope for you. You can be set free.
That's right.
There is a life outside of fear, and fear is not your friend.
Yeah.
So many people have struggled with fear for such a long time that they've learned to accommodate fear.
Mm-hmm.
They've learned to welcome fear and get used to fear in their life. And every decision is not based out of faith, but is based from fear.
Mm-hmm.
What are the consequences? What are the lacks? The setbacks
mm-hmm.
if I do this. And the main question that always runs through a person's mind who is struggling with fear and anxiety is, what if?
Mm-hmm.
What if? What if? What if? What if? What if? And it's normally, what if something bad happens as a result of my action?
Mm-hmm.
And so what that's called is risk avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
Risk avoidance. I'm going to avoid all possible risks that I feel are going to be detrimental to myself or maybe to my family or to people that I love. And so I just don't do anything. I don't do anything. I don't say anything because my whole life is a continual risk and I don't want to suffer the repercussions or the hurt or the pain
mm-hmm.
as a result of it.
Yeah.
And that's no way to live. You know, God's called us to be
free.
Free.
Totally yeah. free.
Totally, totally free. And I know that just warmed my heart.
Yeah. Right. Powerful.
That's beautiful.
Absolutely powerful. And I'm just glad for what God did for Nicole. And I'm telling you, I know he can do it for you.
Yeah.
I know he can do it for you. And you're listening and you're thinking, you know, could this really be true? Listen, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. You heard it from her own mouth. It's true.
Yeah.
And it's not just true for Nicole. Guess what? It's true for you.
Mm-hmm.
Cry out to Jesus. Make him the Lord of your life. And say, Lord, I want to be set free. Awesome. And watch him set you free.
Awesome.
Steve, I know you were talking about, in the break, talking to us about hardships.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you've been reading John Bevere's book,
mm-hmm.
The Bait of Satan, and you've been sharing on that, and we've enjoyed that tremendously. But I know you're talking about hardships. Talk to us.
Well, in the book, John Bevere just shares about a time in his life when...
talking about the book, The Bait of Satan?
Correct. This is in The Bait of Satan. But he was talking about a time when he was under a specific authority and at a time where it was just a powerful... godly authority, and then just a season went in his life when he was unable to receive from them and just being familiar. And in that time, he just felt like, okay, he wasn't supposed to be there. And then there was another family in the same fellowship that they were under the assumption that God was calling them to go away. And during this time, John Bevere and his wife just had just an uneasiness. There was just, and what was powerful, when he puts it, he's like, our spirits had no joy. And during this time, like, this family was telling John Bevere and his wife, you know, you need to go somewhere where you can get on with the call of God in your life. You know, you're just not at peace right now. Why don't you just come with us? And they were basically, and John Bevere talks about this, it's like they were basically just feeding into, you know, where they were getting offended or where they thought they needed to be because they were just affirming their uncomfortability in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what just really stuck out to me was how he said the fact that we had no joy. And this is what John Bevere says in his book, The Bait of Satan. He says, and he's talking about the other family. He says, this was not the fault of the other pastor and his wife, but ours. They understood our frustration and were trying to resolve the same issues in their own hearts of that just uncomfortability. Why is there this consistent struggle? He says, when you're out of the will of God, you will not be a blessing or help to any church. When you're out of the will of God, even the good relationships will be strained. We had been out of the will of God. He said, offended people react to the situation and do things that appear right, even though they're not inspired by God.
Mm.
And we're not called to react, we're not called to react, but to act. And that really just spoke to me because what God has been speaking to me and showing to me is just like, there's going to be those difficult moments. There's going to be those uncomfortability seasons in our life when God's working on us mm-hmm. and we can get focused on the fact of, you know, this just doesn't feel good.
Does he ever stop working on us?
Oh, he doesn't. that's the joy of it. It's just like, God's always working on us. But at the same time too, is that God will even bring people around us that will feed into our flesh of what we of what we think, but that's also the test, because it's just like we're not called to listen to what other people are saying about our flesh or what we want to hear. We're called to abide. We're called to live and rely on that fresh word, that mm-hmm. daily word. God, what are you saying about this situation? Because as much mm-hmm. as I'd like to be out there, and then when we have people say, you know what? Yeah, I really think that what God, you need to be out there, and it's just like, but God, what are you saying? Because that's that perspective that we need to have, because those times are going to come. And what's even consistent and powerful is he continues to talk about just like, if you think about a plant, you think about a tree. And I think about the hurricanes and the Gulf Coast. It's the strength of trees that are strengthened in the hardships. those strong storms, that's when the roots go down. And if you were to listen to a plant, if it says, oh, it's too hot, I don't like it here, and we were to move it, if you move a plant, you know, every month, every couple of days, you're going to kill it. And we have to take that time of just getting roots down in God, regardless of the storm, regardless of what's coming against us, because the hardships are meant to work on us.
Absolutely, you know, and it's amazing how you can be going through a hardship, a trial, a situation, and God's working on you. You're on the potter's wheel. You're the clay. Remember, he's the potter, and he can do what he wants. But it's amazing that if you're not careful, see, God has a plan for you. That rest assured, understand this, settle this in your heart, that God has a plan for you. I mean, he knit you in your mother's womb. He knew you before the foundations of the earth, and he allowed you to be born to live. So God has destiny inside of you, and he is working to have that destiny revealed. But what's also true is that Satan has a plan too. Satan has a plan to steal, kill, and destroy, and to rob from you what God wants to bring to you and through you. And he will line up people, even well-meaning people, that could be used in derailing what God's trying to do in your life. I mean, if you think of yourself on a train, and you're on the pathway to you know, fulfilling God's destiny and plan for your life, the enemy is constantly trying to derail your train and get you off the tracks. He's trying to throw something in that railway, something, you know, nudge you up against your flesh and get you to tip on over. And one of the worst things that you can do when you're going through a time of uncertainty and just not sure is to take opinion polls. And a lot of times people get tempted to do that, to get opinion polls and get other people's opinions about what they are going through. And it's like, man, careful, careful, because you're opening yourself up for someone just to agree with your flesh. And if you get agreement, many to agree.
That's right.
If you get agreement, then that's it.
Yeah.
And that becomes that, and it could be rebellion in your heart. It could be totally missing God's way. And a lot of times, you know, who wants to feel uncomfortable? Oftentimes we think that feeling uncomfortable or the heat getting too close, we think that that's a bad thing because we're supposed to feel comfort. Listen, feeling the heat and feeling uncomfortable is a great thing. When you think about what happens with the eagle and then actually with birds, you know, part of the idea of getting the eaglets or the birds to get out of the nest, they've been living in this nest. The mama's made it all comfortable, got some twigs, got some leaves. It's hooked up. Got a little baby flat screen up in there. You know, the nest is hooked up.
Yeah.
There's comfort there. Mama's bringing food, all that stuff. But there comes a point where the little eaglet or the little bird's got to get out that nest.
Yeah.
And what the eagle does, mother eagle or the bird, it begins to break up the nest. It begins to pull things out of the nest so that it can be, the bird or the eaglet can become more and more uncomfortable with the present surroundings. Not because the mama eagle's bored, but because she understands that she has to get this bird flying and living and sustaining. And sometimes in your life, you can become so comfortable, maybe in your sin, maybe comfortable in your fear, maybe comfortable in just who you are and your way of doing things and your mindset, that God's saying, listen, I allowed that for a season in your life, but where you are going and where I'm taking you, you have to let that stuff go. And so we have different seasons. We have different things that God's trying to do. And if we try to go into a new season with old ways, we're not going to inherit. It's like putting new wine in an old wineskin. You're the wineskin. God's ripping and tearing and pulling.
That's right. He's about to pop the cork.
He's about to pop the cork. He's reshaping you, reforming you, and getting you prepared for what he's going to do. And I've heard it said that God can pull you through anything if you're willing to withstand the pull.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. And John Bevere was just like, this is not right. You know, well, God was preparing him.
Yeah.
And I mean, and you look at how God is using John Bevere. He's wrote probably one of the most powerful books. I mean, his ministry is worldwide, and he has an amazing impact for the kingdom of God and him and his wife. And it's just a beautiful story. But I would dare say that if they didn't go through the trials that they went through when God was forming and working in their life, that they wouldn't be where they are today, being mm-hmm. used in the mm-hmm. way they're being used today.
That's right.
And that's the thing with you. We got to encourage ourselves that no matter what we're facing and going through, no matter, don't rate whether it's godly if you feel uncomfortable. That's a bad rating scale. Don't measure yeah. that. Mm-hmm. This is uncomfortable. This is supposed to just feel right. This is supposed to feel so good and mushy. And no, it's not always like that. It's not always like that. That's why you just have to hang your hat on Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. no matter what. That's why you got to know him personally. That's why you need to abide with him. You got to know, like the sky is blue and the grass is green, that he loves you, that he's got a plan for your life, and that nothing can come past you or through you or to you that didn't first get filtered through the hand of God. Mm. And if God allowed it,
you were meant for it. It has a purpose.
It has Absolutely. A purpose.
Yeah. And it's just that much more. And lastly, just what John Bevere continues, he says, but God put us in these very uncomfortable crucibles to mature us, to refine and strengthen, not to destroy us. That's that perspective we need.
Absolutely. And we can rejoice in the midst of the crucible. Mm. We can rejoice in the midst of it because God's doing something.
Amen.
That's the thing. God is doing something. Be encouraged. Listen, there is a fresh season for you. God is doing a new thing, and it's powerful, but you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it because you refuse to allow God to mold you and shape you. You keep getting out of the fire. You keep Amen. Getting yourself, crawling yourself, sliding yourself off of the potter's wheel. It's like, get back on this wheel.
You ain't finished.
Get back on here. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Walking around with a crooked vase and a, you know, bent up. He's like, get back on here. You're unfinished. Think about it. So many people that are walking around, believers, unfinished works of clay.
Mm-hmm.
Unfinished works of clay, looking at each other. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? We can't do nothing with it. Can't put water in it. Can't put a flower in it. Can't, mm-hmm. you're not prepared
because
mm-hmm. you got off the wheel. And it's not comfortable. But let me tell you, if you cry out to God, that's why you got to cry out to him. You got to know him. Religion's not going to be enough. Listen, it's not going to be enough. You got to know him. You got to walk with him and talk with him. He's got to be your very best friend. And listen, you and Jesus are a majority. Mm. You know, you are a majority.
Mm.
And he'll take you through it. He'll take you through it if you allow him. And when you come out on the other side, this is the thing. When you come out on the other side, you're different.
Amen.
You're prepared, and it's just a new season of blessing. So, you know, yeah, we don't need to avoid the hardship. It's just a matter of how we can go through the hardship.
Mm.
You know, got to go through the hardship.
That's good.
Think about, you know, weight trainers and muscles. You got to break the muscles down to build them back up. You got to break it down and build it back up.
That's right.
That's a part of working out. And if that's true in the physical realm, how much more is it that in the spiritual realm?
Yeah.
You know, God will use it any situation he wants to help us to humble us down.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so stand strong, stand firm. Let nothing move you off the wheel of God and allow him to mold you into what he wants to mold you to become.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light.
Mm-hmm.
It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this... Hitler-like type conversations, or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian, or Muslim-type conversations, or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's Word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And then they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand, and as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Listen, John, I am totally committed. I have planned out an entire fitness exercise program. I'm really going to do it.
Really?
Yeah. Next year, I am going to start this thing. You know, I said that last year, but next year I can visualize, getting to the place, you know, where Pat is, you know what I'm saying? I could get to that place, you know what I'm saying?
That is a lofty dream of yours.
Yeah, it's a lofty dream.
High.
At least half the size, you know what I'm saying? At least half the size. But, but I do have a goal next year. I'm telling you, I'm actually going to move everything off of the treadmill and, look at the equipment and, pray for the divine encounter.
Best of luck to you.
All right.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And before the break, we were talking about not avoiding hardships, but understanding that God is in the middle of these hardships. And in fact, he's the one that's fastening them oftentimes, not all the times,
mm-hmm.
but God will redeem any hardship.
He definitely allows them.
Oh, he allows them.
Everything's father filtered.
It sure is. And I am learning and have learned to look for the redeeming quality of this trial. There's something good got to come out of this. There's something good got to come out of this. Lord, talk to me, speak to me here. Help me.
If you don't resist it, kick against the goads.
Help me to redeem this thing here because I'm going through it.
Yeah.
And oftentimes he shows me, and that's good. I like that. But we can do it, and not to line up with or allow people to line up that will satisfy our flesh. Listen, listening to the wrong people will get you going the wrong way.
Who are you listening to?
Doing the wrong things, and you're not going to like those results. You know, and sometimes it's best just to be quiet, you and God. And it won't hurt you to fast, you know. If it's just really that trying, you know, you need an answer. It's not going to hurt you to fast.
Mm-mm.
But people get in trouble when they become too hasty, and they feel they can't bear the pain of the struggle anymore, and then they just go to anyone who they think is going to agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just literally stop. You can abort. You can get in the way of what God's trying to do in your life. You think about how many destinies and people's lives have been stopped like that. So don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Trust God. Cry out to him, and he'll lead you through it.
That's right.
And you'll be the better, the wiser, and more in love and more grateful for God than ever before.
That's all right.
You know, I was reading in Proverbs this scripture, and I had to stop here. But I don't know if you've read this scripture before. In Proverbs 30, verse 3, it says, "For as churning the milk produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood, stirring up anger produces strife."
Mm.
You know, one of them scriptures you read kind of often, and you're interesting, and right. Maybe you keep going. But this time I didn't, you know, just right, felt like I was, right. Need to stop here. But you think about how butter is produced. You know, we live in a technologically advanced society here. We just run up to this local store and just get it out of the, you know, store and walk out with a tub of butter.
Do you actually know where that comes from?
I have no idea. I'm about to tell you though. I didn't know.
Have you ever ventured into one of those places?
No. What, you talking about store?
A grocery store.
Oh, yes. I go to grocery stores. I go to grocery stores. I thought you were talking about a farm. I go to grocery stores.
Oh, I know you ain't been to a farm.
I've walked through a couple of farms in my lifetime.
Right.
Quickly. I didn't pick nothing up now. I didn't. I have viewed the terrain. I've taken the sights in. But we take for granted today, we see the huge disconnect from what it takes to produce the food to the time we go into the store to get it out. And did you know that butter is made out of milk,
mm-hmm.
and they have to churn it. They have to churn it. And what I found out.
Well, you know where the milk comes from?
Let's see. A cow? Milking the cow?
Yeah, there's a whole process.
Big process. But they get this milk. They have it in a barrel, and I'm simplifying the process here, mm-hmm. but if the barrel's standing straight up, they have what they call a plunger or some sort of stick or something, and they work the milk.
Yeah.
They work the milk clumps, and mm-hmm. it gets hardened, and this whole little process, they mm-hmm. you know, the fluid, they drain the fluid and allow mm-hmm. it to get harder, and before you know it, you got butter.
Yeah.
You know, they had a side deal too. They take a barrel and they have it sideways and put it on a stand, and on the side of the barrel they have like a handle. And you kind of wind it like you're winding a clock or something in a forward motion.
Yeah.
And you're churning it. You're churning it. Kind of like turning, but you're churning mm-hmm. this milk, and it becomes clumpy and more clumpy. Before it, then it hardens and it settles.
Yeah.
And it goes through a process. I mean, it goes from a liquid substance to now you have this hard substance called butter, not parquet, but butter. And it's good. Tastes yummy. But there is a process of churning.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things in the Bible that you'll see is that oftentimes there's a comparison. If we understand the analogy or what they're comparing the truth to, if we understand that the first part, then we can understand the second part. So he says, as churning the milk produces butter, right? He goes on to say, as twisting the nose produces blood. I've never had I got my ears twisted when I was a child. Now, but I didn't get my nose twisted. But I haven't seen this. I mean, it says it in the Bible. We can try it out, Steve, now to see if it works. Oh, okay.
What's the next verse say?
Okay, we'll leave that one alone.
Just check.
But as twisting the nose produces blood, so does stirring up anger produce strife.
Wow.
This is serious here. This is serious because you're talking about a transformation. You know, the same way the milk went from a liquid substance and became a hard substance, something happened in between that two states that this milk was in for it to be a solid form of butter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was a churning. And oftentimes anger is like that. And the dictionary defines anger as a feeling of great annoyance. Weren't expecting that, were you? A feeling of great annoyance or antagonism as a result of some real or supposed, or I guess perceived, grievance. The strong, intense emotion. Think about it. Anger. And, you know, people get angry. You can angry and sin not. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord was angry that they had made the temple a den of robbers and said, this is going to be a house of prayer. Mm-hmm. What you guys are doing up in here, but we're going to get this right. But you can be angry and not sin. But I think oftentimes people fall into the temptation that they become angry and they do sin. Yeah. I think that happens more often than not.
Yeah.
And what happens with anger, it has different levels, if you will. There's like the kind of different stages. And it, you know, maybe starts off with an annoyance, and that annoyance maybe turns into an offense. And then a person will get exasperated. And then maybe that will lead to being infuriated.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you become incensed.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe it turns into rage.
Yeah.
Process. You understand?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Unfortunately.
It happens. It's like, what happened? It went from this annoyance and it's escalated.
You don't just get there all of a sudden.
You just don't. Sometimes you do. I mean, if you've been battling anger.
All that
anger,
can happen all at one time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're battling with anger and this thing's been on you and you haven't been taught on how to deal with this thing, I mean, you can just go into rages.
Mm-hmm.
That's not normal. That's not normal. But sometimes you see this in a child and sometimes mm-hmm. they think it's not cute either. But it has to be dealt with. And the worst thing that we can do with anger, the worst thing we can do is stir it up.
Mm-hmm.
And we stir it up in you know, at least two ways. One of the ways we do it is by thinking about that anger, thinking about what made us upset. Every time you give thought to what made you angry, you're just churning that thing just like you churn the milk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just like the milk is churned to produce butter, you're churning that in your mind and you're thinking about that offense and you're thinking about that hurt and you're thinking about why they did that to you and how they wronged you and you're just upset.
Mm-hmm.
You're just upset. Maybe you're vocalizing it, but at this point you're just thinking about it. Some of us are made different. Some folks can vocalize things more. Some people take their frustrations out by, you know, exerting physical effort, you know, they'll kick a can or something, or beat a trash can or something. Others, they'll just think about it,
yeah,
and they'll just let it go through their mind over and over and over, and then they'll rehearse, rehearse the scene, rehearse what happened,
or what they could have said, or what they should have said, or what they wanted to say,
over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And over and over. And there's a churning. There's a churning that's occurring there. And that anger is settling and settling and settling and settling. The second way that happens is that then you begin to talk about it. So you can't just think about something for so long until it starts leaking out of your mouth. It's almost as if your heart is getting more full, more full, more full with each churning that you do. And before you know it, it starts leaking out of your mouth, and now you're verbalizing it, and now you're sharing it with others, and you're exasperating it, and you've taken this thing, anger, that you could have just dealt with and left it alone or gave it to God, and now, you release strife.
Mm.
You have strife. Strife is defined as heated and can often become violent. It's a contention. It's a struggle. And it's interesting how you can have maybe two young, some siblings, and they have, one is angry, and they're angry at each other, and they're just churning and churning and churning and churning. Before you know it, you have this cloud of strife in your home. There's this strife. There's like it's like a fog, a spiritual fog that you can't see. And all of a sudden, the parents are arguing. And you look and you may think, well, maybe the parents started this, you know. Why are the parents arguing? Well, there's a strife was loosed in the house for maybe two siblings or other people that were living in the home. But you know, that can go both ways. Maybe the parents are churning and churning and churning and churning their anger.
Mm-hmm.
And then they release strife and then wondering why the kids can't get along.
Right.
Because strife is in the atmosphere and it's been loosed in the home. And strife means lack of agreement or harmony. And you look at what's happening in families, in businesses, in this country. It's just one big contention struggle. It's just sickening, really, when you think about it. And listen, at least at home, can you get some peace at home?
Yeah.
You know, you want to have peace in your home and your family, but it's not going to happen if you want to continue to exercise your quote-unquote right to be upset. I have a right to be upset. I have a right to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
And so that churning process, it's going to produce something.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to produce. And the question is, are you going to like what it produces? Are you going to like to have that in your home? Are you going to like to have that in your family? Are you going to like to have that in your church, amongst your fellowship? I mean, mm-hmm. really, is it worth it to have that type of anger, to be infuriated, exasperated?
Yeah.
And oftentimes it happens when, you know, you get offended.
Mm-hmm. Focusing on somebody, how somebody wronged you, focusing on yourself, focus on expectations or expectations that weren't met.
Yeah. An injustice.
Yeah.
An injustice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, at some point, we got to be able to find what to do with this anger. You got to say, am I just being upset because I'm being inconvenienced?
Mm.
I'm being annoyed. Are we trying to say this is righteous anger? There's a big difference about having right. You want to be angry with just the sin that's going on in your own life. You know, it's like,
yeah, right.
That's a righteous anger, you know, but oftentimes you probably fall into an unrighteous anger more often than not. And we always have a choice. And it's, you can think more clearly when you're not in the midst of the struggle and the grip and the cloud. When the dust is settled, that's the time to think about, well, how am I going to respond maybe the next time? How can I pray to God to help me? Because I don't want to stir this thing up.
Mm-hmm.
We have two choices.
Mm-hmm.
We can stir up anger and produce strife, or we can stir up love.
Mm.
You know, why not decide that, listen, I'm going to do one of two things. I'm going to release this anger to the Lord. I'm going to ask God to help me with this because I need help. You know, why am I being angry or upset and annoyed or frustrated or exasperated? Or why am I breaking out into rage? What's mm-hmm. behind all of this? And we're running out of time. Wish we could talk more about this because there's things that are happening behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to make a choice. You need to make a decision to say, you know what? I'm going to choose to stir up love. What would happen if you decide to intentionally stir up love in your home? If you were intentionally to stir up love in your family, amongst the fellowship? It takes you to be engaging and maybe start saying kind things,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
doing, you know, acts of kindness, words of encouragement, you know, loving on folks, helping them out,
yeah.
you know, giving somebody a hug there. You'll be surprised at an environment and what happens when an environment of love starts settling. You know, I've been in certain places and where you've walked in and you felt, man, I just feel love.
Yeah.
And when we say that joke, can I feel the love? You can feel. You can feel
yeah.
love.
I'm into that.
Definitely.
You can feel hate too.
Oh yeah.
But you can feel love. Decide today. If I want to stir anything up, I want to be used to stir up love.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.